Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Survivor Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway World. I'm your co-host, Jason A. Coombs, and my fellow co-host here, Samantha Dawn Titsolo. We're live on Broadway World. Not really.
I know. Hey, Survivors. Happy episode 51.
This is 51.
I'm still stuck on 50 episodes. I got very emotional last week. I'm still editing this 50 episode recap video, so you guys will see it soon. But, you know, it was so beautiful to look back on the 50 episodes. So happy 51. This is the first day of our next 50.
I know, right? And soon we'll have 550. I keep saying that. I keep jumping.
Have a heart palpitation.
I'm dead.
But like in a great way, you know?
For sure. For sure. Cool. So do you have a survival job story?
Here's the thing I want to talk about today.
I like your green though. Like your country green.
Thank you. Green's my favorite color. Yeah. What I would like to say about survival jobs this week is I have been taking on, oh my God, the highlighter I put on my nose was just really shiny and shocking. Sorry. Oh, wow. What I want to say about survival jobs this week is me personally, Samantha Dawn Titsolo, I have been biting off more than I can chew in my survival job world, meaning, you know, I have my day-to-day survival job, shout out, so grateful for it. It allows me to do so many things and have a steady income. Yes. But then, you know, I do get these occasional freelance gigs, which pay really well and are like super chill, and I meet like amazing people. So it's very hard for me to say no when those are essentially just handed to me. Sorry, I just hit my mic. I've been hitting my mic a lot today. Sorry, everyone. So it's really hard to say no. And a big lesson I learned last week, and I just want to share with everyone, is like, hey, yes, money may be amazing and easy and handed to you, and these opportunities and these gigs are awesome, but it's okay to say no, and you should if it's going to like really stress you out. I had a full-on like panic attack last week because I took that sounded so dramatic. I did have like a moment where I was stressed and like I need, and we'll talk about this a lot in our episode with Tamika that's coming up,
but
balance is so important, and money and stability is awesome, but so is your mental health. And we talk about mental health a lot on this podcast, but I want to say, like, take care of yourself and in your survival jobs, make sure you leave time for yourself and your art and your mental health. And if you need to go for a run, go for a run. And if you need to lay on the couch, lay on the couch. And it's okay to say no to a gig. It's okay to say no to a survival job as long as you're like still making money and doing the thing. So that's what I want to say about survival jobs this week. It's not really a survival job story, but more of a survival tip to the survivors.
I love that, a survivor tip.
Yeah. So I had a big lesson for myself last week. My last week as a 31-year-old also, Jason.
Damn. I know your birthday's coming up this weekend.
Damn. Next week, October 5th, in case anyone.
Oh, yeah. But isn't it? Oh, we're celebrating on Sunday.
We're celebrating on Sunday.
I'm like, I don't know what the concept of time is. I'm like, can't believe it's about to be October. How wild is that?
crazy. Like 2022 is just like zooming by.
It's over.
Oh my God. No, it's not. We can accomplish a lot in the next 3 months.
Let's hope. I did want to say that I hope that people are keeping up with what's happening in Puerto Rico, because there was an awful hurricane, Fiona, who's wreaking havoc there, the aftermath of Fiona, as well as Dominican Republic and a few other countries in the Caribbean. So I put it in, I put a link of places to donate last week in episode 50, but we didn't talk about it last week. So I wanted to just acknowledge it and remind people, like, even if you have a couple of dollars, just help people, you know, like give, and they really need it there. They have not recovered from Hurricane Maria, which was last year. So Puerto Rico's having a tough time, and it's an American, as part of America, y'all, part of the United States, y'all. So like, it's our country. So
100%.
I'm making a face right now to our listeners. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's us. It's our community. It's our greater community. It's our service to greater community. We can help so many other countries, but sometimes we forget to help our own.
Correct. So. Thank you for always taking the lead on, you know, putting the correct links for people to help. So I will definitely take a look at that myself.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was going to talk about so much stuff's going on. Let's, we'll save it for another episode. I did also want to shout out, I saw recently Rent at the Downtown Cabaret Theater here in Bridgeport. It's a regional theater. They do regional shows. They also do community theater. And they had a production of Rent that's playing now until October 16th. And I mean, like most people in our age range love Rent, right?
Love.
It's like, it was one of the first musicals that I was introduced to. I think I talked about that before, that it was like, oh, this is a musical. And it was, you know, it was different and it was fun. And it wasn't people just singing like opera, which is little 13-year-old me was like, everything that was musical theater was also opera. I don't know why I thought that.
That's so funny.
But it was a good reminder of how important that show is and how special that show is.
Yeah.
And it was it's a really good production. So I hope people who are nearby can make it. Yeah.
Yeah, Bridgeport, Connecticut, you guys. It's not far, like we've told you about for the Bridgeport Film Fest. Do you know how long it's running, Jason?
I think it closes on Sunday, October 16th. It's every weekend. Oh, and there's like four shows. There's a Friday 7:30, there's a Saturday at 5 and 8, I believe, and then a Sunday at 5. So there's multiple opportunities to see it.
Get over there, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Rent is so, and it's so funny. We're talking about all these things that are tying right into our guest today. We didn't even realize.
Yeah, I know.
I love when we do good things like that. Good things. I remember seeing Rent, and I was 12, 13 as well. And I remember sitting during La Vie Boheme, and I had a moment where I was like, I have to perform for the rest of my life. I remember I was like a friend's birthday party from community theater. And I remember telling her mom after the show, like, I have to do this. I might have said that story on this podcast before. I can't remember. So sorry if you've heard that already, but it is such a special show, especially you're right, especially to our age. But then also, you know, I think it's keeping it going, and the younger generations will always love Rent. How can you not?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, so groundbreaking. And even if it's like not as, and I hate to say like as timely, because, you know, the whole like AIDS and subplot is a little outdated, obviously, because we're in 2022. But the representation that show gives, it's so important. And yeah, it's just it's a really fun time at the theater, you know, especially if you have a cast that does it right, which the Downtown Cabaret does. And my good friend Sierra is in it. So shout out to Sierra.
She is?
She's a Seasons of Love vocalist.
Oh my
God. Did such a fantastic job. So
Jason, I love her.
I know you do.
I love Sierra. Oh, maybe I'll try to come. Maybe I'll try to get over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh.
She did such a great job.
Well, shout out to Sierra, and shout out to Rent, and shout out to the Bridgeport Cabaret. Downtown Bridgeport Cabaret.
Downtown Cabaret, yeah.
Sorry.
Close enough. Should we talk about Jinx?
Why do people always used to say, Jinx, you owe me a soda? Like,
no
in my
idea.
Youth, I used to always say it, and I don't know why, and I almost just said it to you, and then I caught myself, because I'm going to be 32, and I should not be telling people, Jinx, you owe me a soda.
Why not?
Because I think it's silly. I just said that, and in my head, I'm just thinking about Kim Possible. Did Kim Possible ever say that?
Oh, I don't know, but I loved that show when I was a kid.
Me too. Oh my God. And I think that was Christy Carlson Romano, which we talked about on last week.
Yeah, it was.
I hate us and love us. Goodbye.
Love, yes, Christy Carlson Romano.
Let's talk about our
two episodes in a row. Christy Carlson Romano.
We went to the moon in 1969, you know? It's just the way it is. Yes, I'm yes, dead. Yes. Let's talk about Tamika Lawrence, our amazing, incredible superstar guest today, mm-hmm. you guys. We cannot wait for you to hear this episode. We say that all of the time, but I think we're just so lucky with the guests that come on and who we get to share space with. So yes, we cannot wait for you guys to hear this one. Tamika's sure. amazing. Yeah. How do you feel after talking to her?
Yeah, I feel really inspired. She was so warm. Like, I feel like she was just like a radiant, like she was radiating energy, like positive energy. And like, she was like the sun. Like, I was getting like good energy from her. And I just want to create now. Like, I just want to, yeah. Like, I love when we talk to someone who makes us, just really inspires us and lights that fire underneath us.
Yes, yes, yes. I really have to do a quick sidebar before we tell her bio to all of our listeners.
Sure.
You just said she was the sun. And I just want to let you know I'm still on my Grey's Anatomy binge, which I'm starting to
feel
a little bit with it because I'm starting to get like, okay, I cannot look. Ellen Pompeo is amazing, but I cannot look at her anymore. I've been watching this on repeat since June and it's like a little overwhelming. It's like time to like maybe go read a book or something. But yeah. Sandra Oh, sorry to everyone, no spoilers. If you've never watched Grey's Anatomy, Sandra Oh, aka Christina Yang, has just left the show. And before she leaves, she looks at Meredith Grey, Ellen Pompeo, and says, "Derek is not the sun, you are." Oh, and wow. You just said Tamika was the sun. So shout out to being sons.
Yes, I love that. That's so funny. He said no spoilers because that show has been on for like literally 25 years. No, I'm kidding.
I know, but if I was in the middle of my binge and I was listening to a podcast and they were like, Christina Yang leaves the show, and I was on season two, I'd be like, Christina Yang is leaving?
Yeah. Well, I was listening to a podcast the other day, actually, and I was really mad. I was really, really mad because I was listening to a podcast about a movie called I Know What You Did Last Summer, which is 25 years old, literally, from 1997. So I was like, okay, like, you know, I love that movie. I was listening to the podcast about it. But then these stupid ass hosts, they gave away a spoiler for a movie that came out last year called Malignant. And I was so mad. I gave them one star. I don't even care. I was like, I was hunting them down on social media. We're probably gonna lose fans because people are gonna be like, he's crazy. But I was so mad that I was like trying to find them on social media. I could not find their Twitter or their Instagram. So I was like, next best thing, I'm going to Apple and I give them one star. How dare you give a movie a huge plot point from a movie that came out last year? I was so mad. Maybe I'll cut this out.
I am laughing.
Because I probably sound deranged, but I was so angry.
Please don't give us one star. Jason's just having a moment. You really just said these stupid ass hosts.
Yeah. Like, why would you do that? I would never spoil a movie or something that just came out. Like,
yeah. Without a warning.
Without a warning. You can just say, hey, fast forward, or hey, cover your ears, or I'm going to spoil Malignant. And I would have paused it and I would have fast forwarded and it would have been fine. But you just like said it and they were like, oh, that was a spoiler. Oh, well. And then I was like, I was going to watch that movie and I did watch it. I watched it anyway, but I was like, on my agenda, the next movie I was going to watch was Malignant. I was so mad.
That is annoying. So
give us 5 stars, long story short, because we won't spoil things for you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully no one's in the middle of binging Grey's from the beginning because you just did.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We just went down.
You know what? It's just who we are. Let's talk about Tamika.
You want to start off with her bio?
Yes, I do. Tamika Lawrence. You know what? I just laughed at myself. Today, like, I'm talking to you in like my normal voice, and I go to read the bio, and I'm like, Tamika Lawrence.
It's official.
Thank you. Tamika Lawrence is an actor, writer, and Grammy-winning artist. Broadway credits include Caroline or Change, Getting the Band Back Together, Come From Away, Dear Evan Hansen, Virtual Cast, Beautiful, If Then, Matilda, and The Book of Mormon. Some off-Broadway credits include Hercules at the Public Theater, Rent, which we just were talking about, and The Tempest, also at the Public Theater. And by the way, people, if you listen to this a lot, you know that The Tempest is where Jason Coombs and I really, really bonded at Western Connecticut State University in 2009.
Ten or nine.
And so
yeah,
thank
a long
you.
Time ago.
Now here we are together. Okay.
Here we are.
Thank you.
Some of her television credits include Modern Love, The Last OG, The Wiz Live, Vinyl, Show Me a Hero, Blue Bloods, Law and Order SVU, and The Greatest Showman, White Girl, and Breakable You. This is a really good one, y'all. So get ready.
Enjoy, people.
Enjoy.
Love you. Tamika, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast.
Yay, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to meet you. And like we were saying before we got on, you're our first like Grammy Award winner that we've had on the show. So how cool. That's iconic. Really cool for us. That's really iconic.
I'm happy, very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to start with a random question. Where do you keep them? Where do you keep your
Grammys? Well, I have Grammy certificates, and hanging off. The three of them are hanging on my wall, and I'm waiting for two more. So I just keep them on my wall.
That's good inspiration, like when you're doing stuff, to be like, there it is.
Yeah, and also like it helps me have a gratitude too, because you know this business, like your podcast kind of exemplifies, can be a lot of feast or famine. And so in those times when I'm not so busy, I have this on my wall to say, like, you know, even if I never work in this business again, I've been blessed to do so much cool stuff, and I want to remember that instead of becoming jaded or disillusioned, which can happen.
Big facts.
100%. Okay, before we jump into the interview, since we're just talking about survival jobs and feast or famine, do you have like a sentence of what a survival job means to you?
A survival job is a position that doesn't feed your passion, but feeds your bank account.
Yes.
Facts. Yeah. Do you have like a favorite survival job that's like helped you along your career?
Well, I didn't work very long having a survival job. I worked for 3 weeks at Nike Town before I booked my first show.
Wow.
But I had a few survival jobs when I was in college. I went to conservatory and I had it was summer, winter. They would basically let me work with them whenever I had a free time. And that was, I built computer boards for government projects and for Boeing and for just like other companies that needed computer boards for random projects.
That's amazing.
That's cool. Yeah. So I would like.
That's like a career.
Yeah.
It was a career for a lot of the people that I worked with that company is in Phoenix, Arizona, where I'm from. It was cool just learning a completely different industry and sort of having that in my tool bag too, so that if theater didn't work out, I had something else. I had other tools before I even left school. I had another trade where I could, you know, work and do that and make a decent income.
100%. And that also sounds like complex. Like you need to know what is going on. And the boats are leaving by my apartment. Hello.
Oh.
Do you hear that big honk? Do you have like a crazy story from one of your survival jobs, like a crazy day or a crazy boss?
I'm trying to think. I think so. Those 3 weeks that I worked at Nike Town, I worked as part of a temp agency, and so the temp agency just kind of sends a group of people to that place and then you do whatever that place needs. And at Nike Town, they needed a bunch of people to, it was their like go time. I think it was Labor Day sale or something. And they needed people down in the basement to grab whatever shoes that were ordered up top and send them upstairs so that people could try shoes on and then send them back down if they didn't want them. And so there were a group of us there. And I remember, it was wild because you had all types of people there. You had really nice people. You had, you know, Joanne the Scammer there. It was all kinds of stuff. So,
oh my gosh.
So I remember there was this one lady who came around and she just didn't have a good vibe. And she kept coming around to the rest of us who were temps. And she was like, hey, can I use your phone? Can I use your phone? I need to call somebody. Can I use your phone? And something about her was like, don't even give her the time of day. So we go about our day and we had a 15-minute break that we were allowed to take. And this woman was gone for like 2 hours. Nobody could find her. She was just on the grid. And we were like, go, go, go. So they were like, well, forget it. We can't worry about her. We just have to keep sending these shoes up. So she comes strolling in 2 hours later. She's like, hey, you know, what did I miss? And we're like, what is wrong with you?
What did I miss? Oh, your shift?
And wasted. Me and this other guy, I remember, we go to like this. So there were like these special shoes and they didn't get called up as much. But so and they were like in a back corner. So we got a call for these special shoes. We go around in the back corner and there's this girl crying her eyes out in the back corner. And we were like, girl, what's wrong? Are you okay? She's another temp. That woman who asked us all for our phones, this girl actually gave her her phone. That woman used her phone for 2 hours. Now, this was like 11 years ago. And, called Jamaica, like called home and racked up $500 worth of like long distance minutes on this girl's phone. And just came strolling back in with like, hey, how y'all doing? And I was like, Lord Jesus, get me up out of here. Because if anything like that happens to me, I'm fighting somebody. So luckily, I think a week later, I booked rent and then, you know, didn't have to worry about it. But we were like, oh, man, we need to start like fundraising for this girl or something, because the phone company wasn't going to let her slide. So, yeah, that's probably the craziest. So it didn't happen to me, but I saw it happen.
I am in shock.
Jason and I both sort of like fell back and our hands went over our mouth. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's what happens. Also, my survival job is I work in event staffing for a temp agency, and the temps are hit or miss. You never know. Like, so you get some crazy people who are like making phone calls.
Wow.
Well, thank you to Nike for the story.
they got me through. They really did. They came in a pinch. So very grateful.
I have and so like, many questions though.
Go ahead.
But why was she so bold to be like, I'm going to take someone's phone and call, like, who is this person?
Yeah. My grandma always says, like, it takes all kinds. Anytime somebody does something that's crazy, you can't justify that, right? Like, it's just, they got a different set of rules and boundaries and stuff in their brain. So when that happens, it's just, it takes all kinds of people in the world.
Oh my gosh.
My friend's mom also says you can't rationalize crazy.
You can't.
You literally can't.
Rationalize crazy, ever.
Oof. Yikes. That's like the wildest story I think I heard on here.
Actually, I also love that she came back in and she was like, hey, what did I miss?
She's a crazy, beautiful cover girl. You would never know that she just ruined somebody's life. And she
Oh, man. I thought,
wow, that's a character study. That really is. I hope to that play is. Her one day.
Tamika, exactly. Are you a writer? Because that sounds like a great script.
Yeah, right?
Not for the girl who's phone, but anyway, you did bring up Rent, which was your first Broadway show, right?
First off Broadway show.
Off Broadway show, yeah. And you've done Carolina Chains, Come From Away, Beautiful, just to name a few. Do you have like a favorite role you've done? I have a two-part question. That's the first part.
Okay. Favorite role. Probably Bunny in Black No More. That was the last role that I did with the new group.
That was this year, right?
Huh, I'm sorry?
That was this year, right?
That was this year, yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool playing someone who was morally conflicted, sort of a hero, anti-hero, hero. So that was really fun to develop and explore with the writers and all that for like 4 years. That was great. and my favorite show, because I love that role and I love that show. But I think my favorite show that I've ever been in is Rent. Number one, because it was my first show, and number two, I don't want to make this long-winded, but Michael Greif was the director of this show. And, you know, when you book your first show, or at least when I did, I was like, all right, I booked my first show.
Yes.
Long, I did it, Lord. Thank you. And one of the things that he did that was so impactful was had us go down and observe the group, the life group that is talked about in Rent. And we actually heard people's stories. And, you know, it taught me that whenever we get to go on stage, we get to do it. And also when we're telling these people stories, we get to like put on that jacket and then put it back in the closet, right? And these people have to continue with their struggles or with their feelings. And there's a privilege in being able to take that off. And there's a duty for us as actors to do right and not think about all the other crap and how great we are and how cool it is that, you know, like that stuff is cool to be grateful for what we do, you know, to pursue our passions. But it's not like we're all that. We have the same, you know, we have a duty to just tell the story with as much truth and vulnerability as possible. And so I think that really helped me shape my career, how I want to go about my career and the roles that I pick. Sorry, that was long-winded.
Wow, no, that's so beautiful. That's so well stated. We said this last time, Sam, for our last guest, but like Viola Davis always says, what's the quote? I never can say it right.
She says something along the lines of, I love being an artist because it is the only career or path who truly knows how to live a life.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, can you live so many? You get to like tap into so many.
Also in a speech, she said something, I can't find the whole sentence, but she was like, exhume those bodies. Like we get to tap into like so many people before us.
Yeah.
Ugh, I love her.
Yeah. And then I have a part two. Sorry, I'm taking up all the time, Sam. Sorry.
Take it, babe.
Do you have like a favorite, like you've had such a wonderful career. You said that job was 11 years ago. So like you've been working professionally for at least 11 years. Do you have a favorite day or moment in your career so far? Something that's like when you like go to bed at night, you're like, damn, that was a great day. That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many of those. I think the one that sticks out most was Book of Mormon was my Broadway debut. And besides like everybody just being so lovely, my first show, I remember we were doing Spooky Mormon Hell Dream. And I was like in this, you know, I was so nervous. Yeah. And I'm like doing, you know, trying to do this dance move. It was really complicated. And I remember I dropped my pitchfork. And I went like this and I froze and tried to make something out of it. And I looked out in the audience and it was Common and Serena Williams just sitting there and they were laughing at me. And I was like, that's so, you know, like I'm a dingus for dropping this, but that's so cool that like I get to have this memory of them looking right at me and, you know, laughing at me. I just think that's cool.
That's cool.
That is so Broadway. Yeah. Like, you know. Yeah. Wow, that's such a good story. I want to transition a little bit and talk about your music now. Okay. Like we mentioned, you are our first Grammy winner, not our first Grammy nominee. Sorry to Lisa Lampanelli who lost. Just being funny, not throwing shade. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, starting to create your own music and that process? Part one, and then I have a part two as well.
Well, first, working on my own albums kind of happened serendipitously. I was doing If Then in 2013, and the drummer for that show, Damian Baseman, was like, you know, you got a nice voice. Let's go to my studio sometime and just kind of jam. And so we started doing that, and then we brought more people into the fold, and then we had this band, and I was really fortunate that Adina had hooked me up with a guy who was a promoter for The Bitter End at the time. His name is Kenny. He's passed away since, but back then, I don't know if I can cuss on this show, but back then
we had yeah.
band name was Tamika and the Motherfuckers. And I couldn't get booked anywhere. And then Adina like hooked me up with this guy. And he said, you know, he was like, okay, we'll book you for a date. And I'm thinking, cool, it's a bitter end. It's so legendary. It's really awesome. And he was like, so what's your band name? And I, you know, was really sheepish on the phone. I said, Tamika and the Motherfuckers. And he was like, that's so cool. So that's how we started. And we started like doing, we started off doing covers. And then I started writing music, like what I was inspired by, and writing melodies and stuff and putting it on the band. And then them having their own, you know, like adding their own flavor into it. And then in 2016, we recorded our first album, Ugly, with Tamika and the Slay. And that was a really cool experience. I learned a lot about having my own voice as a woman.
Yes.
Being the only woman in the room. And also like the intricacies of putting an album together sonically. And then our band split up. And then in 2018, I started writing my last album, Two-Faced. And that was a cool experiment, just dealing with all the things that come with being a super sensitive artist and being a super sensitive person. The Grammys that I do have are for the work that I've done with Broadway shows. So with Dear Evan Hansen and with Matilda and with The Greatest Showman. And those were incredible experiences. Watching other people work and being so specific in their writing really influenced my writing for sure.
I love that. That's so inspiring.
It really
I wish
is.
I could sing.
Sometimes Jason breaks out into song on this show, and he really has some good notes.
Do it. I want to. Any moment that you're ready for, do it. Aww. Everybody can sing. Some people just sing in tune. That's it. But everybody.
That's right.
Preach. I love that.
I do want to say like a nice takeaway from that story. I felt like you couldn't get booked because the name of your band had motherfucker in it. But like how fierce that you were like, no, this is the name. I'm not changing it until, you know, someone appreciates like your work and your brand. Like that's what you wanted it to be. And so like, I think a big lesson like for our listeners is like, don't bend and don't change your art or who you want to be to like fit into somebody who's going to book you or like sign you or cast you. Stay true to you and then something cool will happen.
Yeah, and also with that I will say something cool will happen, it just may take a lot longer. And so that's kind of like the takeaway too, right? Like it does fulfill you in a very I think beautiful way to have your own brand, but just know you might work less. And that's okay, you know, but at least you'll be doing the things that you want to do that speak to you.
For sure. So then the second part of my question about you creating your own music and your own work is, how did you find the balance to juggle being creative and creating your own music while still, you know, performing and auditioning and doing all of those things? By the way, I don't know if you were doing this at the same time. Well, you were, and you were in If Then. So how'd you find that balance? Because I know balance is hard.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Yeah, it is. I think I don't really know how to explain it. I made the time. So if we had a show and the show got out at 9:30 or 10:30, we would hit the, you know, rehearsal studio at 11 and have like an 11 to 1 a.m. rehearsal, you know, just because it made us happy to do that. And then when we recorded our album, I had downtime to do that. I was in between shows. And then when we were like putting in the final touches, I was doing Come From Away. And so I would fly from Toronto to, you know, finish it. But I feel like when you really have, it's two different kinds of passions, right? Like I'm able to fulfill the theater passion and the music passion, but I feel like they both feed each other. So because I felt like I was being felt fed doing music, it really influenced how I could be motivated to feed my other passions too. So you just make time for it whenever you can.
Yeah, that's the way you have to do it, I guess. And that sounds like so, Samantha said that's so Broadway, but that's just like a rock star type thing, right? You're like in this awesome show and then you're like hitting the studio after and you're busting your ass.
Lady Gaga, another club, plane. Exactly. And it's so hard. And I struggle with this. And especially this past month, I've been struggling with this a lot of like, where is my balance for my survival job, this podcast, my acting, my fitness? Like, it's just sometimes so overwhelming. And so thank you for sharing that, because for me, I'm already like, okay, just gotta do it. Just stop like complaining and like being stressed and just figure it out and breathe. I just hit my mic.
Yeah, but I also want to say it's like none of them are mutually exclusive, right? It's okay to complain. It's okay to stress. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. And it's okay to put certain things down at different times because it's not actually helping you, or it feels more like it's hurting more than helping. I think for sure. Like everything's always in flux. And so you don't have to feel, I guess that's my philosophy, is like you don't have to feel defeated because something's not serving you or because it's hard. I think you can acknowledge all those things just as long as you keep waking up and pushing forward. Even if pushing forward that day is sitting on a couch and doing nothing and laying under a blanket and saying, why is my life this way?
Right.
That's still an acknowledgement of, you know, what's going on. We have to have those days too.
Totally. And to take those days and not beat yourself up for it. Yeah. It's something else they've been dealing with. Fierce. Go ahead, Jay. You got it?
Jay, I was trying to take myself off of mute and I couldn't get the button. There's a lot happening in my house right now, so I'm like trying to put myself on mute. And I couldn't get it off. Anyway, okay, so I feel like this question is like not always the best to ask us as people of color or like as a woman, but I feel like it's still an important question just to get the conversation out there. And hopefully someone would hear this and I don't know, maybe they'll like get inspired to like do better. So my question for you is, as someone who's been a performer on TV and film, Broadway, off Broadway, what advice or suggestions would you share with anyone who has a seat at the table, right? And can make the industry more inclusive to others who aren't the straight white men of this world making art?
Yeah. Gosh, that's a loaded one.
I know, where do you begin, right? I'm sure.
So can I start this by a joke that I heard that I just find like is like the thing. There's this comedian who's talking about how he was visiting Portland, right? And he needed a haircut. And he goes to this one place in this gentrified neighborhood. And he looks at their window. And there's, you know, an LGBTQ flag in the window. And he's like, tight. And there's a Black Lives Matter flyer in the window. And he goes, tight. And there was like one other, I think it was like pro-abortion in the window. He's like, super tight. And he goes inside and he's like, okay, this is the kind of place that I want to be in. And he sits down, he waits for his hair to get cut, and a Black man walks in and he says, hey, do y'all cut Black hair? And they said, sorry, no. And he just thought like,
wow,
that's the facade, right? So for people who have a seat at the table, it's not so much about saying, it's not so much about tolerating us or acknowledging our existence or saying that, you know, we're allowed to have these rights, we're allowed to exist. It's about sort of reverse assimilation and allowing for other people to have a seat at that table. It's about changing what the table is instead of doing all these sort of inclusive things that don't really amount to much.
And preach, we know
that theater, as much as it is a passion for us that we are allowed to do, it's dollars and cents. That's what it is to these producers. It's just
show business. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the only way that we can change dynamics is through money. And if you don't let certain types of money come in and have a voice and have a say, things will never change. And so I guess that is what my petition to these people would be, is allow other money to come in so that other people can truly have a voice and not have to go with the whole rigmarole that we're used to.
Snaps.
Right. to actually make the difference rather than just like advertising and putting the signs in the window and then not doing anything.
Yes, performative.
Because I find it so funny, even with the kinds of stories that people are trying to tell now, they're still trying to tell it with a hegemonic white male dominated audience in mind. And I feel like when you change the kind of money that comes in and produces, those people with that kind of money, they're not only thinking about, yes, the white people who buy the most tickets, but they're thinking about inviting and attracting other kinds of people to come in, maybe their culture, you know, to come in and be seen. And I think when you start doing that, then we start telling different kinds of stories that don't have to have, you know, the same tired narrator that's explaining to a group of white people what we're actually talking about in this. You know, we don't have to have all those asides or things. We're not placating or playing to a certain audience. So I really think that the money talks.
The money does talk. 100%.
Wow. Okay, Pastor Lawrence, feel that?
Thank you so much for sharing that. I know before we started recording, we let you know that we always like to end the episode with a game, just to bring it back to like having fun and laughing. Before we play the game, Jason, I'm going off book. Do you have like a piece of advice that you could give maybe to our listeners who are maybe feeling stuck in a survival job, who have gone to their 900th open call or submitted their 5 millionth Actors Access submission or can't get that script looked at by somebody at the table? Do you have a piece of advice for someone who feels stuck in a survival job?
I don't know. Like, who am I to give anybody advice? But I think what has helped me, because there's levels to everything, and like even though I booked my first show pretty soon, it was hard to be acknowledged and seen for who I am. As soon as you start booking shows, people are really quick to place you in a box. And that's human nature, right? If you're having a really hard time, I would say, number one, do things that give you joy outside of that thing that you're trying to pursue. Like, make sure that you have friends who don't do theater, or a hobby that is not theater or arts-based, or an organization that you can belong to, whether it's like a church organization or a volunteer organization or fucking kayaking, something that just gives you joy so that this is not everything of who you are. I would say that. And then the other thing is like, make sure that it's really hard to keep advocating for yourself when you don't feel seen. And I get that. But really make sure that you're holding on to who you are, because that's the thing. And somebody will like it. And it may take a year and it may take 30 years, but somebody will see you. But if you keep changing to fit into a mold because you think that's going to get you seen sooner, then you're not going to know who you are. You're going to be super disillusioned and you're going to be lost. So I would say keep being you. Somebody will see you. But also, like, this business ain't everything. And I know it's easy for me to say because I've had a successful career in it, but it really is not everything. And once you get that thing, you know, sold or seen, then there's another level that you're trying to get to. So you got to find your joy outside of it.
Yeah, that's so true. I was going to bring up Viola one more time because we love her so much. But she was talking recently on The View about trying to get The Woman King produced. And, like, that's someone who has an Academy Award, who's like one of the best actors ever, probably.
Ever.
And she's still playing the game, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So once again, Pastor Lawrence, you're preaching. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. And I will say that thought and advice about finding things that bring you joy outside of theater or acting or anything, your artistic path, that's a very common theme that's said with our guests. So I really think that's important. And thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Okay, one more quick question before we play our fun game. Do you have any art right now that's bringing you joy, like any movies or books or TV shows?
Yeah.
What's feeding your soul right now?
Yeah. Steve Buscemi always feeds my my spirit. Steve Buscemi.
Iconic.
I was at the first movie that I ever saw where I was like, that's so cool. My parents, God bless them, they're different. They took me when I was 6 to see Fargo. And I remember guy who was cool, you know, villain with these weird teeth, and I have weird teeth, and I was like, oh, that's like, I'm gonna marry him. But now I understand that is just a person who I just admire so much. And so
yeah.
Right now what's feeding my art is just going through every single Steve Buscemi movie that he's been in, that he has written and gotten.
Wow.
I'm just in a Steve Buscemi hole right now. And it's
I love that.
So happy because he just does all of humanity, you know? And he does really stupid shit that, you know, you think like, oh, you'd be too cool to do that. He does it because you can just tell, like, he just loves being people. So anyway, I'm in Steve Buscemi land.
I love that. Steve Buscemi land.
Same. I love him in Mr. Deeds.
Deedsy? I thought we were watching Scooby-Doo.
That's like an underrated movie.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. So yeah, he's Mr. Deeds and then he's like Boardwalk Empire.
Exactly.
The
Range.
Yeah,
he's so good. Well, thank you so much for this time. I mean, Jason and I both went off script and asked other questions because you're just so great and so wonderful to speak with. So thank you so much for sharing space with us and coming on. We're so happy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me. This is really fun.
Thank you.
So like we said, you're our first Grammy winner. Jason, I hope we're not wrong about that because that would be shady if we are, but I don't think we are.
I don't think we are.
I don't think we are either. So we thought it'd be fun to end the episode with a little Grammy trivia.
Oh, God. I already know I'm going to fail, but let's do it.
Let me tell you, I think you're going to be surprised.
Okay.
I think you'll be surprised. Jay, you want to take the first?
Sure. And it's okay. Most of them are multiple choice or true or false. So
okay.
we got you. In 1994, who won the Album of the Year Grammy for the Bodyguard soundtrack? A, Vanessa Williams, B, Celine Dion, C, Whitney Houston, or D, Barbara Streisand?
Whitney!
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Are you killing it? Okay. Number two. True or false? The first Grammy Award for Best Musical Theater Album was awarded in 1980.
Oh. I'm going to say that is false.
Correct. Correct. The first year that it was 1959.
Okay, cool.
What was it? We don't know.
I didn't look it up, sorry.
Please look it up, listeners, and DM us what it was. Thank you.
Another true or false. Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince's Parents Don't Understand became the first hip-hop recording to win a Grammy for Best Rap Performance.
I'm going to say that's true.
True, yeah.
You're killing it.
3 for 3 so far.
Yes. Okay, 4. Another multiple choice. In 2001, who won the Song of the Year Grammy for Beautiful Day? A, U2, B, correct! You don't even need a multiple choice.
Last question before the bonus.
Okay.
Which female artist has won the most Grammys ever with 79 nominations and 28 wins?
Beyonce.
Ah! Oh! You lied to us.
See?
You're good at trivia.
You did lie to us.
Okay, I like this game.
Okay. And for your bonus, you already have 100%, so this is really going to just take you over.
Okay.
Which original Broadway cast won the 2018 Grammy Award for Best Musical Theater Album?
2018. Oof.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to think. 2018, was it's Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes!
That's the hard thing about the Grammys is that it applies to 2017, but it's done in 2018.
So
yeah. That always turns me on. Woo! Good thing I didn't get that.
You got it.
Yeah. Right? Congratulations. You got all of them correct and the bonus. This was amazing. Before you go, can you let all of our listeners know where they can follow you if they're not already following you, just to keep up?
Hey, what's her prize? You didn't tell her prize.
Oh man, Jason, I always mess it up. Jay, what's the prize?
You gotta have dinner with us one day when at Glasshouse Tavern. Okay, that's your prize.
Oh man, you slept in those risotto balls. Oh my gosh.
That's my favorite thing. Well, my second favorite thing after the risotto. What is this? Samantha?
You love the corn risotto with grilled chicken on top and a side of buffalo sauce.
Oh, she knows you. Oh, y'all are soulmates. We love each other.
Listen, a game changer for that corn risotto is when you get the chicken cutlet on top. Mm.
Okay. Then it's like really hitting. All right.
Hitting. Yeah. Correct.
I love that.
I know. Yeah. So that's so funny. We always, when people win, we're like, you have to have dinner with us for your prize. It's like, really good prize.
You're like,
And if it involves y'all in those risotto balls, I'm in it.
Yes.
When to show up.
For sure.
Yeah. So could you shout your social media handles so everyone can follow you if they're not already a fan of yours, which is silly, and they will be now.
Oh, thank you. I'm only on Instagram because I'm really afraid of being canceled for something I said in 2005. So I am Tamika Lawrence on Instagram, and I'm also on Spotify or like anywhere of music, Tamika Lawrence. I have two of my own albums out, so I hope to see you on the internet.
Yes, we'll drop that info in the show notes. Sorry, Jay.
No, I was just going to say, there's a thing on Twitter you can look up to see if you said anything in the past. Like, you can search. And I've done that for myself to make sure I don't get canceled.
Right? I mean, it really is. It's the new Hunger Games. It really is.
When I joined Twitter in 2011, it was a different time.
You could say, I think my favorite thing that I ever saw on Twitter was, like, ice cream party at my house. Nobody's invited. I mean, it really was,
ice cream party at my house. Damn, I wish I was invited. Little Sunday bar. What could we got? Jason, do you want to drop our handles? I know sometimes you get nervous.
Yeah, because I'm the worst at that, remembering. I have like too many social medias, but we are Survival Jobs Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and Survival Jobs a Podcast on Facebook.
Correct.
And then if you want to send us an email, survivaljobspod@gmail.com.
Jason, you're killing it.
Oh, yes. Woo-hoo!
You got to take that part more because you really killed it. Tamika, thank you so much. You are a star. We're so happy to have met you. And we will see you at the Glasshouse Tavern.
So happy to meet you both, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your patience with all our technical difficulties.
Yes.
No, please. No, I think you had some crap on my end. It's all right.
You know what? We will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org. Because only together we rise.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.